44 case.
Hoshan's knowing how to beat the drum. Hoshan imparted some words, saying, "Cultivating study is called learning. Cutting off study is called nearness. Going beyond these two is to be considered real going beyond." A monk came forward and asked, "What is real going beyond?" Shan said, "Knowing how to beat the drum." Again he asked, "What is the real truth?" Shan said, "Knowing how to beat the drum." Again he asked, "Mind is Buddha. I am not asking about this. What is not mind and not Buddha?" Shan said, "Knowing how to beat the drum." Again he asked, "When a transcendent man comes, how do you receive him?" Shan said, "Knowing how to beat the drum."
Verse.
One hauls rock, a second moves earth. To shoot the bolt requires a 10-ton crossbow. The old master of Elephant Bone Cliff, Shui Feng, rolled balls. How could this equal Ho Shan's knowing how to beat the drum? I report for you to know. Don't be careless. The sweet is sweet. The bitter is bitter.
Today, we will study a verse. One holds rock, the second moves earth. Let's see the commentary. This commentary is a pretty good commentary. One day, this is the first one holds rock. That comes from a story of Kui Tsang. In the commentary, it says, one day Kui Tsang gave the general call to labor, summoning everyone to haul rock. Tsang asked the duty distributor, we say Ino. In Japanese, here it says duty distributor. Tsang asked the duty distributor where he was going. The duty distributor said, "I am going to haul rock. Tsang says, "For now, I will let you haul rock, but don't move the tree in the middle." This is a little bit questionable. I am not clear. The horse rock. In English, it says horse rock. I don't know. This is. Do you understand how to horse rock? And then, do you understand the? The tongue says, "For now, I will let you haul rock, but don't move the tree in the middle." Can't you see it? Can't you understand middle or tree in the middle? What do you mean? How do you haul the rock?
Well, haul rock means to move from one place to another.
Yeah, I understand that.
Don't move the tree in the middle, I don't understand.
Well, I can't imagine from English translation, but probably this is in the ancient time, when I was a child, that is kind of grinding the wheat or rust or soybeans into flour by rubbing between two pieces of very thick, round stone, rock, that the, do you understand, about this size, two pieces of the rock, about this thick. And the top, the two surfaces coming together have the rough surface grain, something, just a wave.
Grooves.
Is that all right? And the top of the rock, my bottom of the rock, center of the bottom of the rock, there is a axis that made by wood, and then the top rock put there, and then it, the top rock, even though you turned the upper rock, it doesn't move. Okay? And also the handle is on the upper rock, the side of the rock. Then you hold the handle and then you can turn the upper rock. Okay? And then the opposite side of the upper rock, there is a kind of hole. You can put the wheat or grain, any kind of grain, during the U-turn, like this. Do you understand? Can't you imagine? when I was tired, we made the flour. Flour. Like this. I think so. And then, Master Kwe Chan says, for now I will let you hold rock, but don't move the tree in the middle, means in the center of the rock as an axis. But don't move it because it is already fixed. It is already with the rock. But if you move it, you cannot grind. And also, it's already there, completely beyond your control. You have to just follow there. So it's kind of order. It's kind of order or principle, discipline, principle. If you want to grind the wheat or roasted soybeans, anyway, that is a principle. You can't ignore it. Okay? So that's why he says don't move the trees in the middle. That means whatever you do, there is a principle you have to focus on. If you slip off, whatever you do, You do something, but sometimes it doesn't make sense. Do you know that Dogen Zenji says in Shobo Genzo, Bendoa, he doesn't criticize the other schools, chanting name of Amitabha, or chanting the sutra, or offering incense. He says it's not necessary to chant the sutra, offering incense to the Buddha. All you have to do is just sit down anyway. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You should, but then. And also he said, when you chant the name of Amitabha, most of people chant the Amitabha just like a frog in the rice field in the spring. Do you understand? Frog creaking, you know? Do you understand? It is not criticizing the other schools, but not only the particular schools, not only the Buddhist religious practice. Whatever you do, if you miss the point, well, your life becomes just like a frog creaking in the rice field in the spring. You make a possible effort to live, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. Do you understand? Well, how can I say it? For instance, if you want to be a football player or a baseball player, well, you have to catch the ball and you have to play the baseball game with the people anyway. But there is a certain principle or discipline, principle anyway, no one can ignore. If you ignore this principle, no matter how long you practice it, practice means running the ground here and there, you know, catching the balls, as you like means according to the satisfaction of your desires. If you don't want to do, you don't want. Okay, balls are coming from this side. If you don't want to go there, it's not necessary to go. So you can go this way. That means according to satisfaction of your human desire, okay? Now, everyday life, you should get up in the morning. Well, that is, anyway, daily routines. So when you get up in the morning, there is a certain principle there. Well, when you get up in the morning, how can you get up anyway? Well, get up anyway, get up and get up. Get up means you should use your body. You cannot get up from your head anyway. But there is a kind of a principle or discipline, or maybe manner, you can say. Okay? Very naturally, it comes up. So, if you miss this one, even though you can get up, it doesn't make sense, you know. Or you can go to the bathroom while they're walking with your head, or you walking with your hand, you can do it, you know. It is also. You can reach the bathroom, but it is not universal anyway. If you are a human being anyway, you have to walk with your feet anyway. So there is a principle. So when you get up in the morning, there is a principle and you can't ignore this, then get up in the morning. So no matter how long they're running here and there on the baseball ground, ignoring the principle, rules, regulations, or guidance. Just to play, just to enjoy baseball game according to the satisfaction of your desire. At that time, why is pretty difficult to become a baseball player. Do you understand? As a hobby, you can do it. Maybe you can be a baseball player as a hobby. Well, hobby is a hobby, okay? When you do something as a hobby, anytime you can quit, because it's a hobby. But if you're professional, you cannot stop it, you know? Because if you become a professional, well, even though you don't like it, people push you anyway. People put you in a certain position, say, called baseball player. Do you understand? If you become a football player or a baseball player as a professional, how can you escape? No. But if you become a football player as a habit, well, any time you can quit. So just according to your satisfaction of your desire, you can stop, you can get participate in, but if you don't like, you cannot do it. So, there is a principle. Whatever you do, there is a center you have to follow anyway. That center is practically very simple. Anyway, very simple. In the human world, good and bad, right and wrong, suffering and prayer, all are interwoven. Okay, interwoven. If you suffer so much, you cannot arouse the body mind, the way seeking mind, or the aspiration for seeking for the truth. You cannot do it because too much suffering. Okay? On the other hand, if you are too happy, it's very difficult to seek for the truth anyway. Do you understand? Well, actually, you cannot experience. Maybe some of you experience it. Is there anyone who experienced a very happy, perfectly happy? Can't you? No one. But if you are too happy to maintain in their spiritual aspiration for seeking for the truth anyway. So, because this is a reality where you are present in, and also where good and bad, right and wrong, suffering and pleasure, all are interwoven, completely beyond your speculation. This is reality you are present in. That's why reality is very invasive, very invasive. You don't understand what the reality is. But sometimes you can know, but if you touch it, it's disappeared next moment. So next moment, the new one comes up, you know. So it's very invasive and very vast. Anyway, you don't understand. Very active, very dynamic. So you don't pick up, you don't pin down what's real reality where you are present. So, from this point, all you have to do is, anyway, you have to be present in real reality, which is very evasive. Evasive means, anyway, there is some reason, principle. What's the principle? Principle is that reality is completely interwoven by pleasure and suffering, right, wrong, good or bad, anyway. The loss and gain and the pros and cons and lots of things. Anyway, interwoven. So if you attach to one side too much, you can't seek for the truth. You can't live in this world. Anyway, it's pretty hard. If you attach to the other side, also, it's very difficult. So important point is, finally, you don't understand what the what the reality you are present in. So finally, all you can do is, anyway, I hope or I want to, anyway, do something and build up something. But even though you want to do, maybe something you want to do will not just appear. So all you have to do is, right now, you can have a hope that I want to do. Right now, that's all. Okay? Because next moment, you don't know. But even though you don't know, you can't stop doing anything. So, according to the next moment, you see the present life is very despair, you know, hopeless, because next moment we don't know what happens. So, we say, if we don't know next moment what will happen, well, why we have to make every possible effort to live? So why don't you do? Why don't you sleep? But you cannot sleep anyway. You cannot take a nap in the human world. So even though you don't understand the next moment, anyway, you cannot help doing something. Right? So you want to do something right now. Anyway, you can hope. You can call that, I want to do something. But you can't expect result, different result you expect. But nevertheless, you will have to do. And also, you cannot help. You have to do means that somebody order you to do. At that time, you may act. But it's not. It's not. Principle is not something somebody order you. And principle is something you have to be just present there and do something. That's all we have to do. So, because present reality is very evasive, completely interwoven by pros and cons, success and failure, and nothing to pin down. If so, everything is very evasive. If so, all you have to do is let's do something toward directing yourself toward a better way. That is your effort anyway. So let's do something now. But if you think next moment, well, it's very uneasy. You feel uneasy, restless. But you have to do. Even though you cannot see, you were not able to see result what you expect now, but you have to do. So you have to do, but that is not order. So very naturally, who has to do? What is the obligation? For what? For me? For others? No. For me, I want to practice. Zazen, I want to study the Buddhism. For what? For me. Yes, it is true. For me what? For, let's say, called deepening my life. What do you mean deepening my life? Yes, for a certain period of time, I can learn lots of things and then deepen lots of things and then I can see the real broad picture of the human world. In a certain period of time, for 50 years, 60 years anyway. And then end of the 60 years, and then what happens? It's time to go ahead, to the other side, the death. When I die, well, what is it? Well, what I did? What I have done? Yeah, I have done, I have studied and deepened my life and then in order for the sake of me, sake of making my life happy. Then when I die, what is the happiness? Well, right before I die, my death, anyway, all gone, completely all gone. Happiness is no happiness. Unhappiness is all gone. The unhappiness is gone, happiness is gone, health is gone, unhealthy is gone, all gone. And then completely, I have to fall into the abyss. Do you understand? Perfect unhappiness. Absolute unhappiness. According to our sense, you know, perfect unhappiness. Complete beyond happiness and unhappiness. All I have to do is, what shall I do? I don't want to die. I want to know what happens after death. Whatever I say, I scream. No matter how long I scream. I'm sorry, Karagi, please go ahead. That moment I have to confront it with. Do you understand this one? This moment is real reality, you are present. It's famous because that moment is really interwoven by pros and cons, success and failure, life and death. Right in the middle of death, from moment to moment, it's exactly death? No, it's not death, it's life. Because right in the middle of death, from moment to moment, you have to live. Do you understand? Until real death comes. If real death comes, you don't know what the death is. Because you become one, exactly death, you know. At that time, how do you know the death? No way to know. Because knowing is characterized by knowing something in the dualistic world. Okay? But if you become exactly oneness, you don't know. There is no way to know. So, just like the death to be killed by a gun, and boom, that shock, only shock. And no pain. When you die, no pain anyway. Right in the middle of death, you don't know. What's the pain? What's the pressure? Anyway, you don't know. But before die, death is coming into you, approach to you, cross to you, at that time you know death. But that death is not real death. That death is something you can know. So it's object. Object, object. So death is subject. Anyway, subjective created the happening. So life is subjective happening. So you don't know. If you accept the death or life exactly subjectively, you don't know, there is no way to know. So all you have to do is throw away I want to do, I don't want to do, or I have to do, or I haven't to do, or I can't help doing something. Well, completely no words. All you have to do is just do it. That's simple practice. So that's why, you can, in the beginning it says, Hoshan imparts some words saying cultivating study is called learning. So, in the dualistic world, we can cultivate studies, knowing something. And the stuff, lots of knowledge into your head. That is learning through your sixth consciousness. But this is one of the way of living in this world. It's important, okay? But it's not, it's not the final purpose. Final purpose or most important purpose of your life. On the other hand, a kind of a study is called nearness. Means, anyway, no matter how long you study, well, life is very realistic. Anyway, if the morning comes, you have to get up and you have to go to work anyway. So let's do it. Forgetting the studying and putting the knowledge into your head. Anyway, let's do it. Let's do it constantly. So that is the excessive ideas. Okay, let's study the human life step by step through your knowledge. The other side is let's be realistic. Let's do something. Okay, but both is a pre-cross. Just do it every day. Just do it. That's pretty nice. So it's nearness. It's nearness. In other words, I told you anyway, if you want to communicate with a TV set, well, To the minimum, you should know how to handle the TV set. All you have to do is just practically push a button, okay? Push a button, and then whole world comes into the one screen. This is a very practical problem. It's not necessary to know how complicated the electricity is behind the tiny switch, or how many people work on the TV stations. It's not necessary to know, or how many entertainments helps this station, particular station. How many people help this particular station? You don't know anyway. But even though you don't know, all you have to do is just push a button and then you can communicate with the TV set. So, very naturally you can see a little bit the broad scale of the world. So you feel good. But it's not exactly. So that's why he says it's nearness. It's pretty near. It's pretty near to the center of the universe. But it's not exactly center. Not exactly understanding whole picture, which is working in dynamically. Okay? So, that's why the next is going beyond these two is to be considered real going beyond. That means two excessive ideas, okay? You have to go beyond means you cannot, if you have a too much suffering, I told you, too much suffering, you cannot see, you cannot stand up in this world straightly. If you are too happy, you cannot stand up straightly either. So, that means if you want, if you make your life straight up, you have to go beyond both. Not suffering, not happy, not unhappy, not happiness. So a little bit of happiness, a little bit of unhappy. Don't you think so? Check your life. Can't you see your life for exactly? I am happy guy. Oh yes, maybe Karage is a happy guy. I don't think Karage is a happy guy, happy guys. Even though I don't say anything, well, in my heart, still some suffering. So a little suffering, a little happiness, it's all right, it's all right. But the important point is you cannot attach to either side of them. So all you have to do is, anyway, go beyond both. Then, let's stand up straight. Let's stand up straight means very simple. Anyway, I want to do, but we don't know. I don't know in the moment, but I have to do. But no one ordered me to do, I have to do this. Who ordered? I ordered? No. Even this I is very small. Something somebody ordered? No. Who ordered? I don't know. But why I have to say I have to do? But I don't know. But even though no one ordered me, even though no one asks me to do something, but I cannot help doing something. Do you understand? So let's see your life every day. Who ordered? Who make you practice? Who make you live for certain period of time? No one ordered. You ordered? No. God ordered? No. God is very quiet. Buddha is very quiet. Nothing, no one. But no one order you, no one ask you to do something, but you are there, so you can't help doing it. So all you have to do is finally, what shall I do? I can't help doing it. So let's do it. Let's do it, it means still something word. So I can't help doing it means I cannot stop it. I cannot ask me. Anyway, I cannot have any idea to do or not to do. Anyway, just do it. Finally, just do it. Finally, when death comes, please go ahead. Who said, please go ahead? Who gave me guarantees I will go to the heaven? No one. I have created my own guarantee to go to the heaven? No way. When I die, who dies? This guy dies. No one with me. No one go with me. So only I alone have to go. So how can I create the guarantee by myself? Spiritual life? By spiritual life, I have create a guarantee. But right in the moment of death, I'm sorry, this guarantee also goes with my death together. So nothing. But nothing, but I have to go. But now I have to go. I cannot help. Go ahead. So that's why the master says, please go ahead. This is a death. Death is life, exactly life. So life is everyday life is just like this. But you are too happy. You are too happy in everyday life. Too many things. Lots of materials. Lots of choices there. So if you are too happy, you don't know. You cannot have an opportunity to have the way-seeking mind, okay? For instance, if you fall in love with somebody, you feel really happy. And that time, you don't care as much. Don't you think so? And then if you cry, if you fail to fall in love, and then you start to think something, what happens? I am a happy guy, or I am not a happy guy. And then you start to cry. And then, even though you cry by yourself, you don't know how to save from yourself. So you try to ask someone, and please help me. And then that is the first gate to get into. But at that time, too much suffering. So you don't have any space to get into the spiritual realm. So, suffering, too suffering, and the other side is too happy. Too happy means exactly the same as infatuation, over excitement. Everything is happy for you. So no need, no help from anybody, anything. That's fine, but life is not like that. So that's why Buddhism always says, that's fine, but make your mind calm anyway. So that's why Buddhism is not interesting religion. Other religion always gives you a lot of excitement. Anyway, you should believe this one, and then you can get, you can go to the heaven, etc. Even after death, etc. So you're really excited. If you are infatuated with that religion, well, you're really happy. You create something. But Buddhism don't do it. Always pour the water burning your head over. Pretty calm. So no interesting, no excitement. That's pretty hard. So that's why someone asks me sometimes, Buddhism ignores human the affection or feeling. I don't think Buddhism ignores. But Buddhism knows pretty well what their affection or what excitement is. That's why right in the middle of excitement, please take care of excitement in appropriate way. That's all we have to do. That's what Buddhism always says. Don't be blind by excitement.
Because if you are exactly blind by excitement, you don't need anything. Because your whole life is occupied by excitement. Do you understand? So, always, Buddhism is not interesting religion. I don't want to recommend you to study. And also, actually, the final goal you can reach is a very simple practice because just like this, what is the real beyond those two, suffering or pain? What is it? So the master says, I know how to hit the bell. That means very simple practice. To knowing how to hit the bell is simultaneously real beyond anyway pain or not pain. So that is a little bit difficult to understand because that process of hitting the bell is not hitting a bell according to your actions. Okay? The bell and the stick and your six consciousnesses and also your bodies and also circumstances, bell towers, etc. So all each of them are devices, machines. And then all machine, you can operate all machine by what? Your actions. So let's hit, you know. But your action is very stinky, do you understand? Because that action is characterized by your karmic life coming from your past life, past. So you don't know what your action is. Action is completely different. Everyone has a different action. Karagi acts in a different way. Gassho is different. So if you do gassho, even though I teach you one gassho, okay, everyone do gassho in a completely different way. But they know, they understand what I said. But if they do, different gassho appear. Do you understand? That's what Dogen Zen says, Shikantara, all you have to do is just sit down. So doing zazen, for the sake of doing zazen, everyone knows. Everyone knows, intellectually. But if they start to do, they don't do it in that way. Crooked. Because always we do something by our own actions. Even though I do something exactly, still my stinkiness comes up. So, you can operate all machines, bells, bell sticks, and the bell towers, and your the six consciousnesses and your six organs, anyway, all of the machines. They're just like a car, and then you can operate them by what? By your actions. But that action is always capitalized by trying to satisfy your own desire. That is action. That's why if you don't want to do, you stop it. That is your actions. Even though you don't know or you know, completely that is your actions. So this is a problem, human problem. So all we have to do is let's refine, polish these actions by what? This is, anyway, compassion, so-called compassion or peace, or softness, or kindness, or magnanimous mind, or respect, appreciation, lots of terms there. Okay. Well, those are, anyway, nothing but the lubricant. By this lubricant, you can operate all machines very smoothly. To operate all machines very smoothly by lubricant means you come to cross to Buddha's teaching, Buddha's way. To to live with all sentient beings, to think of others and help others. Very natural. But your action is, I told you, anyway characterized by, anyway satisfying individual desires, my own desires, so I don't care others. So this is a very stingy action. Even though you know or you don't know, even though you know intellectually, but actually you don't act very elegantly or softly or magnanimously, you don't. Very selfish comes up, very natural. That's why you hurt anyone, everyone, consciously or unconsciously. That's why you have to pay attention to your actions every day. So in the Zen monastery, we don't say your action is bad or wrong. Why don't you practice? When you get up in the morning, please get up in the morning thinking of others, thinking of all sentient beings. I am getting up. I am starting to live with all sentient beings. So sit down on the bed. Let's chant a verse. I am getting up in the morning now with all sentient beings. This is a simple practice. And then, now, if you finish, let's stand up and let's go to the bathroom. When you wash your face, let's chant the verse. I am washing my face with all sentient beings anyway, in order to make my mind pure anyway. That's it. So this practice is pretty good. Even though you don't know what is helpful this practice is, you don't know. But through this practice, you can polish, you can refine, anyway, your actions pretty deep. So-called magnanimous or compassionate or softness, kindness. Thoughtful, something like this. So, that's why every day. So, if you do this practice every day, that is something real going beyond. Anyway, suffering or pleasure. Anyway. So, that's why this is this wood in the center. Okay? You can, anyway, grind of wheat into the flour, by rubbing between the two pieces of rocks. By your actions, you can do it, okay? But don't move the center, don't move the trees in the center of the rock. Means, anyway, by your action is fine, but what is the center? What is the word in the center? That word in the center is exactly kind of lubricant. Peace, respect, appreciation, patience, anyway. Patience, disciplines, offerings, giving, and effort, energy, zeal, calmness, tranquility, wisdom, like this. This is a center. This is a word in the center. Don't move this one. So all you have to do is just follow, regardless of you like or you don't like. Anyway, you have to follow this. Otherwise, you can grind wheat into flour. So practically what is? This is simple. What is this? That's why Koan says, anyway, I know how to hit the bell. This is just a practice. Finally, the monk asks, when I meet a person who really experiences going real beyond two excessive ideas, suffering, pleasure, etc., how can I deal with him? How can I meet him? He says, I know how to hit the bell. Because if you hit the bell, you cannot hit the bell according to satisfying your desires. No. You have to hit the bell with life of bell, with life of trees, life of birds, life of nature, life of spring, life of you, life of anywhere, bell tower. Exactly becoming one. That means with all sentient, be mindful of all sentient beings around the bell, around you, and let's hit together. And that can, how can you hit the bell? By your desires. No. So very naturally there is, you hit, and simultaneously all sentient beings join your actions. So you have to hit the, you have to think others anyway. Birds here, anyway, grass is here. Let's hit the bell together. So you have to think of others. Simultaneously, your action becomes very magnanimous, very tolerant, very modest, very kind, very compassionate, but very stable, because all sentient beings support your actions. So very stable, but very soft, very turned up straight. But it's exactly here. So very naturally, sound comes up very smoothly, wonderful sound comes up from the bell. So people can know who hit the bell. So that's why in the age monastery, in the monastery in Japan, we hit the bell each time we bow. One bow, two bow, and then hit it again, and one bow again. Even in the winter, right in the middle of winter, December, anywhere outside, the tower bell is outside, snowing, cold, anywhere wearing the robe, and anyway, 108 hit. We have to bow 108. In the winter, outside, it's cold, but no way to escape. But that is really good practice. Even though you want to hit the bell by your desire, but you can't because winter there. So it's cold. So even though you want to hit immediately with the fatality, but it's cold, your hand doesn't work pretty well because it's cold. Warm it and then hit it. So it's pretty nice, you know, always being mindful of you, being mindful of winter, snows, and situation quietness. It's wonderful anyway. It's hard, but it's pretty good. So that's why the Koan says, anyway, I know how to hit the bell. So, and this is one horse rocks, a second moves earth. He says, whenever a newcomer arrived at his place, Mu Ping would first order him to move three rows of earth. Mu Ping had the verse which he showed to his assembly, saying, East Mountain Road is narrow, West Mountain is low. Newcomers must not refuse three rows of mud. Ours, you've been traversing the roads of so long. It's so clear, but you don't recognize it and instead get lost. East Mountain Road is now, West Mountain is low, means that is various aspects of human life, suffering, pros and cons, success and failure, and love, fail, the falling in love or failing to love, etc. Anyway, But those are nothing you cannot escape. So if you see suffering, you have to deal with suffering. You have to carry the laws of the mind, if it is necessary. Newcomers must not refuse three laws of mind because this is a reality you live in, open by suffering, pain, it's a good and bad, right and wrong anyway. So if you see the southern mountain which is lower, you have to deal with it. So no excuse, no excuse. If I say no excuse, so you are mad because I order you, but I don't order you. This is a principle. This is the ultimate principle you have to follow. No one orders, no one asks you. No one asks you to commit suicide right in by your suffering, no one. No one asks you to escape the suffering, no, no one. No one asks you to stick to the suffering. No one asks. But you don't ask yourself to do that. Anyway, all you have, finally, all you have to do is complete beyond I want or I don't want. Finally, I cannot help doing right in the middle of suffering. I can't help dealing with the suffering. Right in the middle of suffering. So day by day, we have to do it. Next morning, suffering disappears, another kind of suffering appears. So, this is no excuse. We have to do it. Very simple. That's why I know how to hit the bell. This is the point. You have to learn how to hit the bell. If you hit the bell too much, you cannot seek for the truth. In other words, if you have too much suffering, you cannot seek for the truth. Because too much. If you are too happy, you cannot seek for the truth. You cannot stand up. Seek for the truth means you cannot stand up straight every day. No. So, how can you deal with it? How do you know how to hit the bell? How to hit the bell means every moment. How to hit the bell. When you get up in the morning, you have to hit the bell. Just like a pushing button of the TV set. Get up in the morning means just hit the bell. But how do you hit the bell? You should know. Okay? But you hit the bell really complicated. Complicated sound comes up, you know. When you get up in the morning, how can you hit the bell? Do you know how to hit the bell? Yes, you say, I know how to hit the bell, but lots of complicated sounds comes up. Sometimes I cannot hear it. Sometimes I really confused. Even myself, I can get up in the morning by my action, but it's very complicated. So why don't you get up in the morning, very simple as I can. In magnanimous mind, very compassionate, it's pretty hard. So every day, you have to learn how to hit the bell. Real way, not idealistic way, real way. Real way is something you have to learn in the process of the walking in the mist. Anyway, constantly. And then you can learn. What's the real way? How to hit the bell. Okay? Before doing that, even though you know the way, that way is idealistic. Idea. Nothing but idea. Concept. So sometimes it doesn't work. So real way is something you have to learn right in the middle of process of hitting bell, and then you should know how to hit the bell. Get up in the morning, how to get up in the morning, how to wash your face. Anyway, you should learn. What is love? Love is not discussions. Anybody should love, you should learn what the real love is through the process of living through your life, helping each other, not always showing your desires first. Anyway, you should learn, anyway, real love in the process of living with the people, thinking with others, helping others, anyway, you should learn. And then you can learn real love. But that real love is pretty hard to explain. But it makes your life stable. Wherever you may go, you can love somebody. Always. So, newcomers mustn't refuse three laws of man, as you have been traversing the roads so long. Anyway, we have been already right in the middle of the way of the road so long from the past. Anyway, we are already there. That is real reality. You are present anyway. Even though you realize it or you don't realize it. Anyway, you are there. So, no excuse. You have to just live there. It's so clear. It's very clear. It's so clear, too clear to know. Anyway, because if you become one exactly, it's very clear. For instance, if I, Karage, become one as a Karage, it's very clear. This is Karage, anyway. But it's pretty hard to say. It's pretty clear to know. Do you understand? This nose is with my nose. Okay? So my nose is very clear with me. But how do I know? My nose is in my right in the middle of my face. And then I say, touch it. Oh yes, this is my nose. It's already I know the nose in the dualistic world. So I create a gap. So no, my nose is exactly one with Karagiri. At that time, it's very clear, absolutely clear. But it's pretty hard to know. Okay. So, but you don't realize it. You don't realize it and instead get lost. If you don't know this clearness, if you don't realize this clearness, you get lost. That's why Zen Master says, let you grind your feet into the flower, but don't move the trees in the center. That is the center, okay? Okay. Later, there was a monk who asked to move pin. I don't ask about what is included in the three laws. What about what's outside the three laws? Pin said, the Iron Wheel Emperor commands in his realm. The monk was speechless. So Pin hit him. Later, there was a monk who asked Mu Pin, I don't ask about what is included in the three laws. What about what's outside the three laws? Well, inside of the three laws means the quality of the three laws. He understands the quality of the three laws. That's why Zen Master always ask newcomers to carry the three laws of the mud. But a monk ask outside of the law means why? The reason why I have to do it. Okay. Outside the Lord. In other words, when the quality of the three laws appears in our human dualistic world, what is this? Is this an order? Or is this a morality? Or is this something, philosophy? So that's why monk asked, what about outside the three laws? Prince said that Ayongpil emperor commands in his will. Ayongpil emperor means completely no excuse. Ayong is hard, the hardest entities, hardest entity. No one can move. No one can ignore. So it's emperor commands in his realm means that means principle, nature, law of nature. No one can move. No one can ignore. So that's why very naturally you should do it. Very naturally Zen teacher order you do it. Even though you don't like, do it. If you complain, the teacher pick you and put it in the cell anyway. Because you cannot escape. In order to let you know, the teacher has to do something like this. Because this is natural law, law of nature, law of principle. So-called Iron Field Emperor commands in his realm that principle is whole universe. Whole universe is occupied by this principle. So this principle always commands you to do it, even though you don't like it or you like it. Just do it. This is why Sudo said, one holds rock, a second moves earth. To shut the bolt requires a 10-ton cross ball. Sudo uses the 10-ton full cross ball to explain this case. He wants you to see how Hoshan helped the people. If it's a monstrous dragon or tiger or some other fierce beast, then you use this crossbow. If it's a tiny bird or a creature of little consequence, of course you must use crossbow lightly. Well, this everyday practice, knowing how to hit the bell, is really using a heavy, very heavy 10-ton crossbow. Anyway, means very stable practice. But no one asks you, no one order you, but it's very stable. Just like using the 10-ton crossbow, it's very stable, heavy. But and then what you can hit with this 10-ton crossbow, you have to hit an enormous creature, monstrous creatures. But it is what? It is kind. It is exactly the same as little creature, like a rabbit. Means when you get up, get up. When you wash your face, wash your face. That is a kind of little rabbit. But don't be careless. You cannot ignore this practice. So, even though you hit the little rabbit, but you have to use 10-ton crossbow anyway. That time, your mind, your action becomes very magnanimous, very tolerant, very stable, very straightforward, very patient, very compassionate, very kind, very intimate, very friendly, very directly intimate, directly one, become one. Very human warmth there. The old master of elephant bone cliff rod, rod balls. Elephant bone cliff means Zen masters. Su Feng, roll balls. Always he roll balls when the newcomer comes. That is the same way as Hoshan did. Hoshan did it. Exactly the same. Anyway. If you read the stories, then most people, Zen people, try to imitate this way. Well, if you imitate, imitation is imitation. Okay. Kind of koan. Koan. In order to solve the koan, sometimes. Zen students always imitate the Zen master did in the past, like this, very dramatic, scream, shouting at them. And sometimes throwing away the, books and your hat, etc. But this is nothing but the imitation. Don't imitate. Anyway, if you want to do, anyways, you should discover by yourself. It's not necessary to make your life dramatic. No. Even though you cannot say anything, that's fine. It is also your own creative life. If you can go in that way, without saying anything, constantly standing straight up, like this, it's fine, great core. But most Zen students try to imitate in order to solve the core of all human life. No, it's not right way. But there are lots of cases there, example there. That's why this Blue Cliff record said like this. I report for you to know, don't be careless. The sweet is sweet, the bitter is bitter. Anyway, mountain in the south, is low. At that time, you have to take your mountain which is low. You have to see, if you see anyway, mountain which is higher than the other, anyway, you have to deal with mountain which is higher than the other. For when Zazen comes, you should deal with the Zazen as it is. When the morning comes, anyway, you should deal with the morning. When you have to get up in the morning, you have to deal with the get up in the morning, anyway, as simple as you can, as it really is. Sweet is sweet. Bitter is bitter. Bitter is not something wrong. Is one of the decorations of the real reality, what to make your life work. So sweet is not always sweet. Sweet turns into bitter. Bitter is not always bitter. Bitter turns into sweet someday. So all you have to do, only when you deal with the bitter as it is, bitter turns into sweet. But when you don't do it, when you don't do it, but bitter is always bitter, giving you suffering, lots of suffering, because you create bitter by your bitter, by your misusing bitter, misunderstanding bitterness. So you create more and more. So that's why don't be careless. Whatever it is, don't be careless. Anyway, when you see, anyway, wash or water in the basin, this is a place, this is an opportunity, this is a spiritual opportunity, you can manifest your spirit, your human warmness, human compassion. And offering your body and mind into it, communicating with each other, water and you. At that time, water supports your life. Dogen Zenji always mentions this kind of practice in the Eihei Shinji, regulation of master life. It's very interesting work. Most people don't pay attention because he always talking about, you know, how to wash your face, etc. So it's pretty unusual. In other words, pretty usual daily routine because everyone washes your face. So why do we have to say how to wash your face? It's ridiculous. Even though three years old boys knows pretty well how to wash your face. But if an 80 years old man cannot wash his face in appropriate way, okay? So that's why he has to say anyway. So that's a very interesting work, his work. But no one pay attention to it. But most of people are interested in a philosophy, very complicated philosophy. They love it. But they don't pay attention. Very simple daily routine. Well, but real important practice is always in the daily routine. So, you cannot be careless. But I don't mean you should be nervous. No. You can't be nervous. But you cannot be scrupulous. Scrupulous. Not meticulous. Not scrupulous. You cannot be meticulous. If I say, please be careful, your office becomes meticulous. Your action, behavior becomes meticulous. Meticulous. No, it's not meticulous.